We're doing Jewish history, and we had learned, we went off on a few tangents about Ezra, about the second Beit HaMikdash, and now we'll come back to the period after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, prior to the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. So he had discussed Plato, that Plato learned from the prophets, whether it's the prophet Jeremiah, or someone else. He didn't go into that. And Socrates, it says, he spoke to Achitophel and Asaf HaKarchi. That's what it says in a Medrash, that Socrates met Achitophel. I have
they're,
to sit down.
They both killed themselves, right?
I don't know. Jeremiah didn't kill himself.
No, it's Socrates and Achitophel.
Ah, okay. Belshazzar, he is, Belshazzar was the 49th king. I'm sorry, Belshazzar was king in the 49th year of Babylon. And he overlapped with Darius, with Dariavish. That's the year when Daniel has his dream. We move forward to the year 3389. That's the third year of Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the king who took the vessels of the temple and made a feast. And then the hand came and wrote on the wall. We have the first Darius. If we move from the Babylonian Empire to the Persian Mede Empire. So the first Darius was the one who took over the Babylonian Empire with the death of Belshazzar. The first Darius, Dariavish HaMadi, who we learned about in the beginning in the book of Daniel, he ruled for one king. He ruled for 1 year. His reign lasted for only 1 year. We saw this when we learned Daniel. Rashi quoted this in Daniel from, I think, Josephus. So the first Darius who took over the throne from the Babylonian Empire, his reign lasted only 1 year. And our sages say that this Darius was 62 years old when he became king. And so our sages work their way backwards in the history books, and they say, you see that this Darius was born in the same year that Nebuchadnezzar entered the Holy of Holies. And Chazal even had a tradition that on the day that Nebuchadnezzar entered the Holy of Holies, that was the day that Darius was born, because this Darius would be the one to take down the Babylonian Empire. So our sages say he was born on the day Nebuchadnezzar entered the Holy of Holies. I don't know, because this is during the reign of Yoyachin. This is not with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. This is the earlier ascent of Nebuchadnezzar into Israel. In the Persian history books, we have all kinds of quotes which bring to question our tradition as to what happened during this time period. There are different approaches among the commentaries as to whether we should even reconcile their sources with our sources. There's a whole book written on this, which I have at home if someone wants to borrow it. I haven't yet read it, but I have a book just on this. So in the Persian history books, it says that there was a Persian king named Asteragus, and he had one daughter who would inherit his kingdom. And then one of his nobles fell in love with her, and she became pregnant. And when her father, the king Asteragus, heard of this, he got very upset, and he executed that noble. Now, his daughter's name was Bemasar, or Bamasar, whatever, I don't know how to pronounce it. And when she gave birth, so the king took the child, and he told one of his servants, take the kid out of here. Take him out to the desert. And they wanted him to die there. Did we learn this story? Okay. And then there was a dog that found the baby and nursed him. And the child grew up and became a powerful warrior. And he set up a legion of men. And he set up his own little army. And when the king heard that there's a man out in the wilderness who's setting up his own legion, so he sent out his men to kill him. Now, this man, who was actually the king's grandson, so he was given the name Koresh, which means in their language a dog, because he grew up from a female dog. And he won. He was victorious against the king's men, and he went back and killed his own grandfather, Asteragus, and conquered the capital. And then he became king over the Persian Empire. Being that there was only one heir to the Persian Mede throne, which was this daughter who was actually his mother, so he took her as a wife. And this was his way of conquering the throne. He didn't know it was his mother. And when he became king over the Persian Mede Empire, so he took the princess, which was actually his mother, he took the throne. This is the first Koresh who took the Persian Empire. And then he turned to Darius and said, you know, you and I are both powerful people. We should really be our own independent kings. Why shouldn't we wage war against Belshazzar? Until now we've been subservient to the Babylonian Empire, the Persians and the Medes. Let's overthrow the Babylonian Empire. And Darius said to him, good luck. So Darius was willing to follow if Koresh would lead the way. So they went to war. And when they went to war, so the armies of Belshazzar attacked them. They saw them approaching, so they went out on the attack. Koresh and Daryavesh, who Koresh is in charge of the Persian Empire, he killed his grandfather, who he probably didn't know was his grandfather. He married his mother, took over the Persian Empire. He invites Darius, who's in charge of the Mede Empire, and says, why should our empires be subservient to the Babylonian Empire? Let's attack the Babylonians. So they do. In the first battle, the Babylonians are victorious, and the Persians and Medes suffer a great loss and they retreat. Now within the Babylonian army, you have a lot of Jews. Jews who had turned on their heritage have joined the Babylonian army. And Belshazzar makes this big party, and he takes out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, and he celebrates this great victory because the Persian Mede Empire was a formidable force, and he considered it a big success that he quelled that rebellion. And that night, in his celebration, he takes out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, and that's when the hand appears and writes on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekelu Parsin, and Daniel interprets the dream, and that's when one of the eunuchs recognizes Daniel from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, I have a lot of respect for what that man says. If he says the Persian Mede Empire is going to win, and the Babylonian Empire is going to be finished, so he's right. And so that night, when Belshazzar, in his drunken stupor, went to sleep, this eunuch came in and cut off his head and ran out to Koresh and Daryavesh and told them, here's what happened tonight. Daniel says you guys are going to win. Don't go back home. You lost this battle, but you guys can still win. And here's the head of Belshazzar. You guys should just attack. So they said to one another, Koresh and Daryavesh, logically we don't stand a chance. The only reason this is happening is because the Babylonians destroyed the temple of Hashem. That's why this miracle happened. They said, really, we should have retreated and lost. But obviously God doesn't want that to happen because they destroyed his home. And they said, they took on a vow and they said, God, if you let us win the Babylonian Empire, we will let the Jews go back and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And he writes over here, the next morning they attacked. Rashi in Isaiah, Rashi in Yeshaya, explains that it happened in the middle of the night that they attacked. That's a little different than what he writes here. Rashi says, "Kumu asarim mishchum again." That when the Navi describes that in the middle of the party, they told the people, "Go prepare your shields." That's because the attack happened in the middle of the night. But he says, in the morning, they attacked and conquered Babylon, and they destroyed what they found of the Babylonian Empire, and they killed everyone they could find from the Babylonian Empire, including the babies. He looks at the Babylonian Empire as being the same empire from the days of Avram Avinu, from the time of Nimrod, till Belshazzar, 1,600 years, with 49 or 51 kings, depending on how you count. Now that's interesting, because in Seder Olam Rabbah, the assumption is that the Babylonian Empire only came to power after the Assyrian Empire. Meaning we ordinarily view the Babylonian Empire as a new entity, that Nebuchadnezzar built them up. He seems to view it as an evolvement. We always understood that the Assyrian Empire was the force of the Middle East until after the destruction of the northern 10 tribes. And then when the Assyrian Empire fell at the gates of Jerusalem with the miracle in the days of Chizkiyahu, so then you had the assassination of the king by his two sons. And then the next year you have Nebuchadnezzar, who had been a soldier in the Assyrian Empire, developing the Babylonian Empire, and then swallowing up the weakened Assyrian Empire into his empire. That's the way we always understood it based on Seder Olam Rabbah. He's not describing it that way. He's describing it as this empire lasted for 1,600 years from the days of Nimrod, from Avram Avinu, through the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, through the period of Belshazzar. The Seder Adoros. So that's the way he describes it. So at this point, we have a deal made between the Persians and the Medes that they'll alternate. And the first king will be a Mede. Darius will be king and Koresh will be second in command. What he doesn't mention here, which is mentioned in Rashi and in Josephus, is that Darius had Koresh marry his daughter. So that Koresh was technically his son-in-law. He also doesn't mention here how Darius died. There are sources, again, I think in Josephus it says that Darius died at war. That later on that year, Darius only lived a year because he died at war that year, and then his son-in-law Koresh took over. But this is where we're pausing now, where Darius and Koresh have both had a successful military campaign, a successful rebellion, and taken over the Babylonian Empire. And he records that they killed all the Babylonians. In archaeology, they have found sources that indicate differently. There are sources that say that the Babylonians sided with the Persians and Medes, and that there was a peaceful takeover of the Babylonian Empire. It's interesting, they found an arch that describes the Persian-Mede takeover of the Babylonian Empire, which is very different than his description. The difficulty in archaeology is that you never know what's accurate and what's a whitewashing of history. You know, Stalin also could write how kind and gentle and wonderful he was. The victor gets to write history. So the fact that the Persian-Medes set up an arch that describes a peaceful victory doesn't mean it actually happened. It just means that's how they wanted to be recorded for history. My grandfather, he should rest in peace, he told us that towards the end of the war, when the Lithuanians realized that the Nazis would lose, you had Lithuanians who went out of their way to be nice to Jews so that later on they could claim that they had been nice all along. Even though you had whole towns, including my grandfather's town, where the town, once they thought the Nazis were going to win, of their own volition, before the Nazis came in, they killed out as many Jews as they could. Whole towns in Lithuania were wiped out. And my grandfather left us names of towns and dates when this was done. But once they thought that the world would see what they had done and that the Nazis would lose, suddenly they did different things. So again, it's hard to know if the archaeologists have found an arch that describes a peaceful takeover of the Babylonian Empire, yet our sources describe differently. Our assumption would be that we need more work to understand what's going on here. Tov, so we'll pick up here with Hashem next.